Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you with us for this Saturday afternoon. That number again, 888-318-7884. And this hour, your spiritual life. We address pastoral concerns and tackle issues that have to do with souls, issues of family and prayer and relationships. We're happy to take those calls. We take just a momentary step, well, a 1 hour step away from our usual apologetics questions to focus on the pastoral this hour. If you have a pastoral question, 888-318-7884 is the number. We are joined by Father Vincent Serpa, Dominican priest and former chaplain here at Catholic Answers. You hear him regularly doing the Catholic Answers Minute. Hi, Father Vincent Serpa. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am very, very well. I wanted to ask you, because you're a Dominican, there's something about the Dominicans and diocesan priests happening. Are you aware of what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say something about you and the Franciscans, because you're that, too. We're considered cousin orders. But, I'm the promoter now for the here in our province. It's just elsewhere. We hadn't here. It's called the Priestly Fraternity of St. Dominic, and it's basically a third order for diocesan priests. And we provide spirituality and structure for them, meeting once a month and sharing in our prayer life, attending the office, living in a community. It's meant to be a help to their priesthood, to their spiritual life. And it's nothing new as far as the order is concerned, but it's new to us here in our Western province.
So
I'm meeting tomorrow. I meet every first week of each month until next summer, when they will make their commitment and they'll receive the Dominican habit. They'll be able to wear the habit when they're in one of our houses. And they'll be able to use our ordo and celebrate Dominican feasts and so on. I was the promoter for the Dominican laity in the past, and now I'm promoter for the Dominican priestly fraternities, and it's really a real honor, you know.
Well, what if you could clarify, Father? What does third order mean? Is there a first order and a second order and a fourth order?
Well, in the past, the first order was the friars, and the second order were the cloistered nuns, and then the third order was divided between the conventual sisters, you know, those who lived a religious life, and the lay third order, the lay people who participate in the order by praying the major portions of the divine office each day, and rosary and daily mass and so on, and meeting once a month, because community is an essential part of our life. Study is also sort of the work we do, and also the penitential ascetic aspect of Dominican life. But when I asked the priest the other day, why is it that you're choosing to join in this way? And it was unanimous community. They really liked the idea of belonging to a community and sharing in that on a monthly basis. And then, of course, it also involves a yearly retreat given by a Dominican. So they share in all aspects of our life. Of course, they're priests already, but they share in the communal aspect, sorry, the study aspect, and, of course, they're preaching already as priests. But this is just to kind of vivify their life and give it a little more structure than just being on their own.
Father Vincent Serpa is our guest. Our number? 888-31-TRUTH. We're taking questions of a spiritual or pastoral nature. If you have questions about your prayer life, family life, other relationships, we're happy to take those calls. 888-318-7884. Father, you mentioned that diocesan priests are seeking more community. I imagine that for diocesan...
Well, these are.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody is.
Well, but there's been a kind of a general, breakdown in in a community in so many ways. And then for priests, if they're often alone in a parish these days, where years ago that would not have been the case.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. So it can be lonely for them. During the day, they're busy with people all the at night. And this is true of bishops, too, or even more so, because they're more cut off, believe it or not, because their peers are in the next diocese, you know, for the most part, unless they have
right.
an associate bishop. You know?
Right.
And so in terms of going to confession and taking of their own spiritual life, they live such public lives, but then at meeting, they live very lonely lives in many instances. We need to pray for our bishops. It's not an easy thing to be a bishop, even on a good day, you know.
Right.
So it's good for us to be cognizant of that, to pray for them.
That's one of the things that I've taken from you whenever I've spoken to you about your vocation to the Dominican Order, that community really means a lot to you, that that community is a very, very real thing and sustains you.
Well, it's like family life. You know, it can be really a difficult thing when it's not going right. But when it goes, when it's going right, it's wonderful. I mean, it's not just you. The total is bigger than the sum of its parts. You know, the Lord is present in community in a special way. So usually in our relationship with one another. And right now I'm living with five other Dominicans, and we chat to the office, the entire office except for midday prayer, because people are out in the middle of the day doing things. But the whole office, we chat it, you know. And it's after dinner we have compline, and then the day winds down, except for those who are working in the parish. I don't work. I help out in the parish, but I'm not a parish priest. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not on staff. So my evenings are free, and so I'm over the hill. So I don't have the energy I had when I was younger. That just comes with with the territory.
Yeah, but who does?
You laugh.
No, I mean, yeah. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. We're talking with Father Vincent Serpa, a Dominican priest and our former chaplain here at Catholic Answers. Any questions you have of a pastoral nature, questions about prayer, questions about family life, questions about suffering, we're happy to take those calls. 888-318-7884. Before I go to a break and then go to calls, Father, do you Dominicans celebrate the Feast of St. Francis today?
It's a feast for us. It's not just a memorial, as it is in most of the church, because of our connection with them. And they celebrate the Feast of St. Dominic as a feast as well. And, of course, they celebrate it as a solemnity, because that's a big thing. And the same with us with St. Dominic. But, yeah, there is a connection. There's been one from, you know, the Franciscans and Dominicans, when they were founded, this was a real break in religious life. It had always been just in a monastery, cut off from people. And with the friars, the world became their cloister. You know, they still have, you know, cloister in their own houses, but their work isn't in the fields. Their work is out among the people. And so for Dominicans, it's been centered around preaching and teaching. And so the two orders have had a lot in common, and other orders were either founded or rejuvenated by being formed into a similar situation, living a simple lifestyle and living in community and then ministering as we do.
It's really extraordinary what happened at that moment. You can see in retrospect the power with which the Holy Spirit moved with St. Dominic and St. Francis and renewal at that time. To me, it reminds me a bit of our own age, not with religious orders, but with now the rise of a brand new thing, a new thing in the lay movements, and that's
right.
The Holy Spirit.
Well, there were lay movements at the time of St. Francis and St. Dominic, and that's how the Third Orders started. Not associated with a religious order, they were called Third Orders by the Church even before there was any First or Second Orders in any other, in the Franciscans or Dominicans, and then some of them chose to identify with either the Dominicans or the Franciscans, and then later on the Carmelites and others. But they used to be just on their own, and then of course there were groups that were heretical and were kind of fell by the wayside. But you know, when you go to, last time I went to St. Peter's in Rome, the the area where the Bernini Holy Spirit window behind the main altar is was cordoned off. But I've been there where it wasn't, when it wasn't. And you can go up there, two big statues on either side of the window, one of St. Dominic, one of St. Francis, and in a very prominent place because the time that they lived was a very difficult time in terms of the church. And they were instruments that God used to vivify and clarify the teachings of the church among the people. And by their example, too, the living lives of poverty. Poverty was important for both Francis and Dominic. They both died lying on the ground and not in their own. St. Dominic didn't have a cell of his own. He used to pray in the sanctuary and sleep on the floor there. So they were very similar in many ways and very different in other ways as well. Right. You know, St. Francis was a very simple man and didn't intend to start an order. He wanted to be minor. He wanted to be small. He didn't want to be in charge of other
people.
Yes,
right.
But God chose that and for him, and so it was a cross that he carried till to his deathbed.
But, well, it's beautiful to know that the Dominicans today and the Franciscans today both hold each other's founders in such high esteem that they celebrate their day as a feast. We have to take a break, Father. We'll come right back with calls for Father Vincent Serpa on pastoral issues right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, guess what? It's October, and that means Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code Winter at checkout in our newly redesigned shop, and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off of hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 9:57, someone exclaimed to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." He responded, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." In responding to the initial enthusiasm of some others who stated their commitments with some strings attached, he said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks back to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Lord does recognize our personal agendas, but his agenda must always come first. So often when we tell him, "I love you," it is with a capital I and a very small u. We tend to minimize him without a thought. So again, we look to the crucifix and we behold his degree of commitment to us. We owe him nothing less than the complete submission of our lives. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host here with you, and our very good friend and longtime member of the Catholic Answers staff, Father Vincent Serpa, joins us for an hour we call Your Spiritual Life, where you get to ask questions about your spiritual life, your prayer life, your family life, and lots of calls. So, Father, let's start with Nathan in Tomball, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Nathan, your question for Father Serpa.
Hello, y'all. One moment. Okay, off speaker. Hey, thanks for taking my question, Father. Hello, Cy. I recently went to confession. The priest, I got maybe a few words, and then my confession, the priest asked, you know, "Are you sorry for your sins?" Kind of confused. I was like, told Father, I was like, "Yes, I am." And then he immediately started giving me absolution, gave me penance, and essentially sent me out, and I was kind of confused as to whether that's a valid, that it would be a valid confession.
You didn't get to confess any sins?
I got about halfway through probably the first one. And
okay.
I also want to note, just because it was an interesting thing, he ended up, when I saw him come out of the confessional a short time later, I have a feeling he was in a big hurry. He was completely in plain clothes to the extent that I was wondering whether he was even a priest. I almost wondered if I got punked. But, I mean, I know he was. I ended up figuring out, yeah, he's a priest and all that. So, you know, very discouraging moment. But
he seemed like he was in a hurry.
Comment on that.
Okay, so that's literally short shrift, isn't it, Father?
Yes, it is. I would consider that it was a valid confession. If there was any fault anywhere, it would be on his part, not yours. But the essentials are there. You did express at least some of your sins, although you should have been able to express all of them or state all of them. But and you expressed your sorrow for sin, and he gave you penance. He gave you absolution. So it was valid, but it was rather sad that was the way it went. He may have been ill or something of that sort. You never know. I mean, he had to go to the bathroom. I mean, that's a pretty basic thing, you know. It's hard to know, but we pray for him in any case. And at least you can know that I see no reason why that confession would not have been valid.
Okay, Nathan.
Okay.
Very comforting. Thank you all. I think I was pretty scrupulous on that one.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Nathan. Thanks very much. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Our guest this hour, Father Vincent Serpa. And any questions you have on your spiritual life are welcome this hour. We now go to Anonymous in Rochester, New York, listening on 92.9 FM. Anonymous, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Hi, Father. I had a question on suffering. I had a friend whose relative was passing away from cancer, and the doctors had given up hope on her. In response to help her with the cancer and to help her with the suffering, she wanted this also. They got her some illegal marijuana. Even though it was illegal, I was wondering, what was that bad of a sin?
No, that wouldn't have been a sin any more than giving her morphine would have been a sin. To try to ease her pain is what medicine often does, and sometimes it doesn't heal the person, but it does reduce the pain. There's nothing wrong. The church doesn't say that you can't take an aspirin when you have a headache. You know, the fact that did you say it was illegal or illegal? I didn't hear.
It was illegal.
It was illegal. Okay, but that. That in itself wouldn't cause it necessarily to be a sin. Maybe the person stole it or whatever. They countered human law, but that wasn't necessarily divine law. It wasn't a divine law. We're not supposed to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But in this instance, it was an act of mercy, and certainly on her part, there was no sin. I don't see any sin on her part whatsoever. Okay.
How about on the brother's part?
Well, you know, I don't know what his intention. I mean, it seems like his intention was that he was worried about his relative, and was concerned on being merciful to her. I don't know the situation well enough to say, but it would seem to me that it's very possible that there was no sin for him either.
Okay, Anonymous.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. That's 888-318-7884. We're taking pastoral questions today for Father Vincent Serpa. George in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM. Your question for Father.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm doing fine.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I'm hesitant to say what I'm about to say. It's just that one of the previous callers said, it's a bit discouraging at times what we experience at a local level when it comes to church. And I just experienced something where I've been going through some very difficult times on a personal level, and I thought I could use a little bit of time to speak to the priest, but the priest that I went to, the church I went to, it's been twice that I've knocked on their door, and he's been, like, not even willing to listen to me to a couple of seconds.
Okay. Again, you're right, George. It's a very similar kind of situation, very similar kind of question, Father. How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't know why the, you know, what was going on. As I mentioned with the other one, maybe he was ill. There could be a number of reasons why he didn't have the time to do it. So, you know, I don't know. You know, we don't know what was going on there. Certainly, if you make an appointment with him to talk to him, you could do that. Sometimes when you just go into confessional and there may be a line of people and he needs to make sure that everybody gets in, or he has mass to celebrate right afterwards. I mean, I don't know what the surrounding situation was. It makes it hard for me to comment on that.
George, was it an appointment that you had with, or you just knocked on the door?
No, I knocked on the door. I've been there once before, and I spoken with a gentleman who is in the process of becoming a priest. Sorry, I don't know the proper term. I think it's seminarist or something like that.
Yeah, seminarian,
and,
right.
But I've twice knocked on the door, and I've gotten the same priest both times. I mean, today was even worse. He pretty much closed the door on me, and I was like, wow. And going through
Is there another parish nearby?
Not near where I was. I just left that place, but no, that was the only place.
You might want to try another parish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I was. If you're having bad experiences there, I might try another parish. That's the best I can tell you.
George,
not being there, I don't know.
Yeah, right. It is hard to know. And boy, George, thank you very, very much for the call. We're being hard on priests in Texas today. I'll tell you what, it's not a good day to be a priest in Texas listening to Catholic Answers. But one thing we do know, however, Father, is our parish priest is a very overextended person today in general.
It's true.
It's a tremendously hard job. They really are the heroes of the church these days. But it's also true. I mean, I suppose in fairness, not every priest is a saint either. I mean, there's some some guys are gruff or difficult, or not you, Father. I mean, I'm not saying that. But
of course not.
No.
No, but the thing is, another thing is you don't know what they're going through. You know, you don't know what they've had to deal with. You know, the night before, they might have been up in the hospital with somebody to wee hours. All those things happen, you know. When you're a priest, you're vulnerable to all this. I mean, people can have access; they can phone. They can. People's needs are not orderly. They come when they come, you know. And
right.
Your priest has to respond to them, you know. So that's why I suggested maybe seeing another priest in another parish might be the way to go. I don't know.
Well, George, thank you again for that call. Let's see if we can get another question in before the break. Don't know if we'll get the answer in, but at least we can get the question in from Rick in St. Lucie, Florida, listening on WJPP. Rick, your question for Father Vincent.
Hello, Father Vincent. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And hi.
Hi.
You know, I was raised Catholic, and when I reached, young adulthood, I married a Protestant girl, so I've been going to Protestant churches ever since. However, over my years of studying, I find more evidence in the Bible that is bringing me back to the Catholic Church all the time. But there was this one question that I had in my studies. I found that in Genesis, regarding the creation, it states that God did create them, both male and female, and in the image of God, he created them. And then I was studying...
Rick, I can hear the music. I don't think you can hear the music, so we have to take a quick break. You'll have to finish your question for Father Vincent Serpa on the other side. Our number, 888-318-7884. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest. Your spiritual life is our topic. And we'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Glad you're with us. Join us on air with your questions today on Catholic Answers Live.
Live Truth, Live Catholic, with trusted series, features, and specials from EWTN Home Video. The EWTN Home Video highlight for October is the EWTN Family Celebration in Worcester, Massachusetts. Celebrate 100 years of Fatima. Order your DVD set at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where relativism has triumphed over objectivity, a world where, in the name of tolerance, religious doctrine is not tolerated. It is a world where euthanasia is practiced widely and religion hardly practiced at all. The lord of this nightmare world is a benign-looking politician intent on power in the name of peace and intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Alquist said it best, whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and by Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. It's also the latest release in the Catholic Answers Classics series. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting Catholic.com or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour, and we are taking a break from our usual apologetics questions and focusing on pastoral concerns, issues of prayer and family life and sacraments and whatever else you might have on your mind about your spiritual life. When we went to the break, Rick in St. Lucie, Florida, was asking about in Genesis, God made man and woman in their image. And then I had to interrupt you for the break, Rick.
So, in God's image. In
yeah.
God's
oh, excuse image, me. It, image. Yeah. Made men and women in the image of God. So, Rick, go ahead and finish your question.
Right. And, you know, as I continue to research that, I uncovered that in the ancient Hebrews used to worship a female component to the Godhead until they were led into captivity by the Babylonians. And then I discovered that in Solomon's temple, there was also, a statue that to the female component to the Godhead. And then I got to thinking, you know, I said, well, and of course, men and women were made together, and then we know how important, the virgin birth was, and is it possible that we could be missing something here, that there could be a female component to the Godhead that isn't...
No. That stuff is not coming from the Church. That's not coming from Christianity. It's coming from people who don't believe. The thing is, first of all, when we say God, male and female were made in God's image, we don't mean that that God looks like us. We mean that they were made with a mortal soul, and they resemble God in the fact that they are rational and have immortal souls, not because of what they look like. Now, when God became man through the incarnation, when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he did have sexuality, and he did look like a man and so on. But that's not what is meant by being made in the image and likeness of God. The fact is that we resemble God most because we're capable of loving. That's the image that we share with God, except that his love is perfect and infinite, where ours is finite. It's limited and dependent on the Lord, for it to happen, because without grace, it's pretty hard for us. The image and likeness does not have to do with the physical. Although God has created us and designed us, that doesn't mean that we resemble him in a particular way. God himself doesn't have sex. You know, God is pure spirit, except for his son, who took on a human nature and did have a sexuality, was a man. So does that help?
Yeah, no, that helps explain it. It seems to be so specific, you know, that it says both male and female, he created them in his image, and then they call, you know, the Messiah, they call him the only begotten son, which, again, is male gender. Of course, the father is a male.
Well,
and you see the gender.
Go ahead, Father?
Well, the fact is, again, Jesus had his sexuality because he took on a human nature, and that's why he is referred to him as he. However, the Father is, you know, we don't learn, and I've been going to be talking about this, we don't know, it's not a matter of our knowing what fathers are, and we apply that to God. It's the other way around. God tells us what men are really like, and we understand both, human fatherhood by recognizing who God is, and God is perfect. He's totally giving, totally loving, totally honest, and so we measure ourselves by him. And even though they use sexual language to talk about God, we have to recognize that how we resemble God, and the fact that we reflect his image is through our ability to love. Because that's, God is love personified. God is infinite love. That's who God is.
May I ask this, Father, and Rick, if you'll hang on for a quick second, I just want to, when the scripture says male and female, he created them, and makes clear that both are created in the image of God, this is in great contrast to many of the ancient religions in which a woman would have been considered the inferior of a man. The idea that both are equal before God, in that both are the image of God, is quite revolutionary to the Jews.
Right, although God the Father is called the Father and not the Mother.
Right.
He is, okay.
Rick?
So we don't want to go there.
Yeah. Right, okay, Rick, anything else?
No, I'm just saying that maybe the Targums or somebody got it wrong when they were recording the history, and they purposely, or maybe by accident, just kind of sort of pushed aside, you know, the female component of it and said, well, it's this way. In other words, did somebody make a choice that this is the way it's going to be?
Well, I mean, God created animals, lesser animals, created the dogs and cats and so on. We don't, you know, say that God has to somehow resemble them. Everything God created was inferior to him. I mean, no one is equal to him. And therefore, no one resembles him because he's beyond our ability to fathom. You know, we only know what he has revealed to us about himself. We know that he exists, but in terms of qualities and so on, our understanding is so minimal compared to the reality because God is so much bigger than we are.
Thank you, Rick. I don't think anybody. I would say we can say with confidence the Bible is not mistaken in its depiction of God. The Bible is the Word of God.
As long as we recognize, you know, that it's not describing, you know, in great detail, because
right.
We would be able to understand it if it did. Yeah.
I'm just thinking that Rick was saying, well, could we have made a mistake and left out something that was essential? Nothing essential was left out.
No, but because the revelation came from God, God does not make mistakes.
Rick, thanks very much. We go now to Joan in Whiting, New Jersey. I mixed those two words up, listening on 89.3 FM. Joan, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Good evening, Father. My question is that I'm Catholic, and I've been raised Catholic, and I've always practiced my Catholic faith. I was married in the Catholic Church to my first husband, and then unfortunately I was divorced. And then I remarried a man who was Christian, and I never obtained an annulment. Does that mean I'm in the state of mortal sin?
Basically, yeah, unless you were ignorant of what you were doing. But is your husband still alive, the one that you married in the church?
Yes.
Okay. How old were you?
married?
I was 24 when I got married to my first husband, and I was.
And how old was he? How old was he at that time?
He was 24.
I see.
And okay. He wasn't a Catholic at the time, but we got married in the Catholic Church, and then he went to RCIA and became a Catholic.
Joan, something's not clear to me. What's your status now?
My status now is that I'm a Catholic. I have not been faithful in going to church because I'm ashamed.
No, I mean your marital status, Joan. Are you?
I'm divorced. I'm divorced.
Twice divorced or once divorced?
Yes, twice divorced.
Twice divorced. Okay, so you're not currently married.
No.
I got you, Father.
Oh well, then all you would have to do is go to confession, and you can receive Holy Communion again. Because you're not, as long as you're living a celibate lifestyle, you're, as far as the church is concerned, you're still married to your first husband anyway, as long as it was a valid marriage. And that, you know, if you can discuss it with a priest, your parish priest, there might be a possibility that maybe it isn't valid because of something essential was lacking. I don't know that, but that's a possibility. But in any case, whether you know that or not, if you just go to confession and tell the priest what, you know, your situation, he can give you absolution and you can receive Holy Communion. It'll be a good thing. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Father. I really appreciate that. God bless you.
I'm glad you called. Take care.
Thank you, Joan. We'll take a quick break. We are taking calls on your spiritual life this hour with Father Vincent Serpa. So if you have a question about your prayer life or the status of your family or marriage, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
I fell away from the practice of my Catholic faith in my college years. But after I got married and we were expecting our first child, I had an enormous tug to come back to my roots. I went to an incredible Catholic store in my town and was blown away by the kindness and knowledge of the staff. They not only recommended books for me and my bride, but they promised me prayer support for my journey back to the faith. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. I have to credit them for helping me on my journey home to the Catholic Church. Now they consider me part of their family, and I have shared with them my oldest son's desire to become a Catholic priest someday. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. That's incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884.
This is Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Your spiritual life is our topic. If you have a question about prayer, a question about family, a question about married life, or any kind of a pastoral question, we're happy to take those this hour. 888-318-7884, our number. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest, and our next caller is Anonymous in San Francisco, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi. So I had a question because I'm married now, but when I before I got married, I had a daughter, and I've been speaking with this Catholic psychologist, and he said that my daughter is doubly cursed because my daughter was conceived out of lust and out of wedlock, and it's been bothering me. So I just wanted to get your take on it, Father.
I would say find another psychologist. This guy's kind of out of it. He needs a psychologist. Certainly he needs a theologian. No, not at all. The good Lord breathes a soul into that little body, regardless of how it came about. And she's God. She belongs to God. And is she baptized yet?
Yes.
Okay, well then she's a member of Christ and his mystical body. Why would she be punished? She didn't do anything wrong. You know, she just came into being through no choice of her own. God loves her very much. He shed his blood for her as much as he did for anybody else. So worry not. There's nothing for you to worry about. But I would really wonder about that psychologist you're going to. Sounds pretty. I can't imagine a psychiatrist just saying that. But does he consider himself a Catholic?
Yes, he does.
Oh my goodness. Oh, well, he needs to know more about the faith. That's for sure. If he knows. Well, anyway, I'll let that alone. But I would be very skeptical to go back to encourage anyone to go to him. I'm sure you, if that's indeed what he's been saying, and I have no reason to doubt what you said. I can imagine that this has been a worry for you, huh?
Yeah. He said that I have to do penance for the rest of my life to fix it or something.
Have you confessed this in confession? I mean, last
yes,
time we
I have.
You have to tell you, but well, then your sins are forgiven, and we believe in the power of God's grace and the power of the sacrament. He really sounds kind of out of it. I would not encourage you to go back to him.
Does that register with you, Anonymous, what Father's saying, that these things are not theologically true? What he's saying about your daughter or you, and do you share Father's concern at all about going back to this psychologist?
I do have a concern. Actually, he runs a website.
Oh, hang on. We don't give out. we have to be careful about giving out websites on the air. So we'll just ask you not to give out the website, but I think I would be very careful, Anonymous. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. God bless you, sister. 888-318-7884, our number. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest, and your spiritual life is our topic. Solving spiritual problems, but I don't want to put that on you, Father. Addressing spiritual concerns would be our mission today. Ray in Tracy, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Si. Hi, Father.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Yes, my question, Father, is we have a group in our parish, which I know them to be inviting liberal priest, and this week they invited someone from the Philippines, a Franciscan, who I found later, I have a video of him from YouTube, who denies or who teaches faith alone and also denies the purgatory. What can I do to stop this priest, Father?
He denies faith alone, did you say?
Yes, Father.
No.
Alone.
Well, as a Catholic, you should. We don't believe in faith alone. We believe in grace, and so we don't. That faith alone is a Protestant belief. So I don't see anything wrong with that.
And also, he denies purgatory on the video from YouTube.
Oh, okay. Well, now that is a matter of dogma that we must believe as Catholics. So that would be a concern for me. Have you talked to the pastor about this?
Not yet. I'm about to write him a letter, including this video. But besides that, okay. He's Franciscan. Can I also write to their superior in the Philippines?
You can, you can do that. But my immediate concern ought to be with your local pastors, you know, so he knows what he's getting. Okay.
All right, Ray. We've lost Ray one way or another. We lost Ray, but Ray, thank you very much for that call. We go now to Patty in Chino, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Patty, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello, thank you, Father, for taking my call today. Father, I married a Hindu in India, and I came home wanting to have my marriage blessed in the Catholic Church. In the meantime, I find out that he only married me for a visa. So I went to my priest, and I told him I was going to get a divorce, and he said, I can't get a divorce because I'm doing it out of spite. And I'm like, well, he only married me for a visa. Why would I continue the marriage? So in the meantime, I don't want this to not let me get communion. Is that okay? Because he's going to get the divorce in India.
Well, the thing, I don't understand what the priest's reason is for you're not divorcing the man, since you're not validly married to him and you don't want to be married to him civilly. Why did he say that you couldn't do it?
Because he said I was doing it out of spite.
You were what?
Yeah. Out of spite, Father.
Out of spite.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not spite. That's nonsense. I mean, I don't know why he said that, but that is not. You certainly may divorce him, and then you can have the marriage annulled. But the thing is, as far as your current prayer life is concerned, you're as long as you're living a celibate life right now. You may go to confession and receive communion, and then talk and maybe go to a different parish, hopefully, where you'll get a priest who can understand the situation better, according to what you said, anyway. Then have the marriage annulled as well.
Good.
Okay.
I will do that.
All right, Patty.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you for that call. Patty, lots and lots of calls, so I'm going to try to keep moving here, Father, before we get to the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. Our topic is your spiritual life. Any questions that you have of a spiritual nature having to do with prayer or family or those spiritual or pastoral things, we're happy to take this hour. We go now to Nato in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Did I say that correctly, Nato?
Yes. Well, actually, my name is Renato, but I put it Nato. I get it butchered all the time. But
you didn't think I could roll the R, huh?
Oh, I didn't know.
No, that's fair enough. Thank you. all right. Your question for Father?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I am married. I'm Catholic myself. And my wife likes to say that famous saying that she used to be Catholic, unfortunately. I want to talk to her. I want to go ahead and you know, I try to talk to her about my religion and what she left and everything. But how do I approach her by doing that? I mean, how can I go in and because she believes in like in the rapture and all that stuff that we don't believe in? Because I mean, it, to me, right. It doesn't make sense.
If you can get her a history of the church, a history of Christianity, and see how, you know, to know history is to be Catholic, according to Cardinal Newman, and it's true. You know, if you really know the history, you recognize how recent Protestantism is, and how long the church existed without it, and and that we teach the same things now that we taught then. You know, those are what the church has taught since the earliest days. Certainly you need to pray for her. And you can't force your ideas on her. You respect her, and so, you know, it's important not to threaten her or to in any way seem like you're demeaning her, you know. But to maybe study the history of the church together might be a nice thing to do, and see if that does that helps.
Nato,
How do I approach her on the rapture part?
Okay, there are certainly books on rapture that and I believe Carl Olson has one. If you phoned our customer service department at Catholic Answers, they certainly can tell you what we've got in terms of rapture. We've got a literature on that, you could start with that.
I would suggest just go to Catholic.com and just type .com. In the word rapture. Right there, like there's a search thing that just pops up. Just type the word rapture in there, and all kinds of stuff will pop up. Renato.
There you go. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for that call. Happy to take it. We go now to John. That's easier to pronounce. John in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Cleveland, Tennessee. Listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. John, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Cy. Hi, Father Vincent. How are you?
Very good, John, but a little bit short of time. So your question, please.
Yes. Yes, very quickly. I have been involved in a program in our diocese at a local Catholic university that is kind of a prerequisite to the permanent diaconate. And I've been invited to apply for the permanent diaconate, and I'm just asking for a tip. How do I discern prayerfully that this is a vocation and a calling by God versus something that I may just want to do?
Well, the thing is, you know, it takes a while to get through. So if you're not really being called, that would come up to the surface. The fact is, the fact that you want to do it, that it's appealing to you, is a sign that it could be, you know. But you don't determine it in 6 months or in a year necessarily. It may take a while. You, as time goes by and you learn more about it, you may decide maybe this isn't for you, or you may be convinced that it is. That's why there is a period of time of formation. So right now, it starts out with the desire for it, and if you've got that already, then you know you go to the next step by step, and you'll know.
Okay, I'll trust in that. Pray for me, please.
We'll be praying for you. Take care.
Yep. John, God bless you in your discernment of the diaconate. It's a beautiful call. Father Vincent Serpa, thank you so much for being with us. May we have your blessing before we go.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Father, it's always a pleasure getting to talk with you every couple weeks, check back in with you up there in that wild area above Los Angeles. I'm not sure what goes on up there. I know there it's wild. Stay safe. Watch out for bears and coyotes or whatever you've got up there. We'll see you next time. Next hour.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. Next hour, Father Hugh Barber will be with us, our new chaplain. We'd like to introduce our new chaplain here at Catholic Answers. He also wears white. But not Dominican white. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.